I'd like to dedicate the Divrei Torah in the memory of Karen's mother. We thank Karen and Stephen for sponsoring this evening's shiur in memory of Karen's mother, Aliza Bas David, Aliza Maidalis, Aleha Shalom, whose seventh yahrzeit is this week. And we hope that her neshama will have an aliyah in Gan Eden from the Divrei Torah that we share tonight. So I happen to have given a shiur in a different venue yesterday about Yichud. I don't know how many people here listened to it or didn't listen to it. This is new information. I mean, not new, but it's not things that I discussed yesterday. But I think the discussion about Yichud is one that is always relevant, always important for us to focus on. And particularly what I want to talk about in today's shiur is the heterim that we find with regard to Yichud and where they apply. There are certain heterim, very legitimate heterim, that the Shulchan Aruch describes based on the Gemara of when Yichud would not apply. And that's what I think is very important for us to understand, the parameters of those allowances and those exceptions, when they apply and when perhaps not. Number one, often a question that we get is whether a woman would be allowed to go to a male doctor, whether a male would be allowed to go to a female doctor. And it's assuming that the reason why you're going to these doctors is not because you have such a salacious mind and you want to go to someone of the opposite gender, but because this person is a great professional and you really trust this individual, whether it's a man or a woman in opposite directions, is the reason why you are choosing that individual. That is one question that we need to think about. Another question that we need to think about is, and this is far more problematic and far more questionable, is forgetting about a doctor who has to do a physical but also has nurses around and staff who can come in and out. What about when you go to a therapist of the opposite gender? How do you deal with that? After all, when you go to a therapist, there's nobody walking in, not a physical therapist, a psychological therapist who is going to have a closed session with you. I can't say intimate is not the right way. It's obviously there's no intimacy, but you're having very sensitive conversations with this individual. You are in an enclosed area that really does not have any appropriate way for anybody else to come in the middle. So the question is, what does one do? If they are sent to a therapist who is a major professional from the opposite gender, is that even allowed? Or perhaps the halacha would have a problem with that. So these are issues that come up, ma'isim b'chol yom, as we say. These are things that come up every single day that we need to think about. You will see in a minute. So I want to get into those differences in a minute. But I think both of those questions are very important ones because we deal with them every day. And we need to really think about how to protect ourselves. I said to the women who were at my shiur yesterday in Stern College that Yichud is not only about following the halacha. Of course, that is of primary importance, but it's also about protecting ourselves. We don't want to do anything that we are not supposed to do. And Dr. Pelkowitz once mentioned to me many years ago that all of the sexual improprieties that he has been involved with throughout his career would have all been saved if only people were careful about the laws of Yichud, which is very logical and makes sense. But what it means is that the Torah, not that we needed a proof, but the Torah understands the psychology of man, the psychology of women. The Torah understands the way people think, the way people are. The Torah doesn't assume that everybody's evil, but the Torah does know that all of us are human beings and we all make mistakes and we all get carried away. And sometimes we get emotionally involved in things that we shouldn't. So Yichud is a very important topic for all of us to be aware of. Number one, the Mishnah writes in Maseches Kiddushin, which is really the primary source of all of the halacha of Yichud, of most of the sources of Yichud are from there. So the Mishnah writes as follows, Kiddushin daf pei beis, kol she'asakav im hanashim. If somebody's primary occupation, somebody's primary employment, or his profession, his vocation, is primarily or predominantly with women, lo yisyached im hanashim. That individual is not allowed to be miyached with women. So what does that mean? No man is allowed to be miyached with women, right? So why are we singling this individual out? Rashi says, if we're talking about a person, shemeleches umnaso lenashim, where he has a job that is specifically geared toward women, whatever that vocation is, v'hanashim tzrichim lo, and the women need his involvement. So what kind of individual is that? So the Gemara goes through a whole list of things which may not be so relevant to our parlance today. So the Gemara says, if you are a goldsmith, so who's going to go to the goldsmith to get something taken care of? The Gemara assumed it's going to be the women. It's not always the case today, but in the days of the Gemara, that's the way it was. The Gemara says, if you have somebody who sells perfume, so the assumption was that most of the people who go buy perfume are going to be women, and there's nothing wrong with a man selling perfume, but most of his customers are certainly going to be women. Or if you have all kinds of people, the Gemara describes there, whose primary job is that they deal with women all the time, so the Gemara says they are not allowed to be miyached. So the question then becomes, what exactly does that mean they're not allowed to be miyached? And the way that the Achronim explain it is that there are more stringencies that are put upon that individual than we would have in a normal situation. Normally, there are laws of yichud, if you have one man and two women, if you have two men and one woman, whatever, all these different permutations of what would be allowed and what not. When we talk about somebody whose primary job or vocation is dealing with women all the time, and he's so familiar and he has a rapport with them, in that situation, the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Gemara, that we would be more machmir with that individual, more so than we would be with others. And just to throw into this discussion, in the Sefer Toras HaYichud, which is a very comprehensive Sefer all about Yichud, he writes that the same would apply if you have a CEO of a company with many secretaries who are going to be working there in the office. That's the same thing. That means that his job is basically interacting with these women all the time, and he feels very comfortable with them. So the laws of Yichud are much more stringent when we deal with someone like that. In which way are they more stringent? The Rama actually quotes his Lahalacha, and he says that he is not allowed to be miyached with even Nashim Harbe, even if there are many women, which normally would not be a problem of Yichud at all. If you have one man with many women, it wouldn't be a problem. He's not going to do anything wrong in the presence of many women. But here, if you have somebody who is Asako Im HaNashim, the Rama writes, based on the Gemara, that we would say that he is not allowed to be even with multiple women. So much so, some of the Rishonim, who we do not accept, I'm only bringing out their opinion because it shows you the severity of this permutation that the Gemara describes. Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim, and the Vilna Gaon writes this as well, even maintain that if that man is even in a room with his wife and many other women, we still wouldn't allow him to be with them, which is very extreme, meaning what's he going to do wrong if his wife is there? But still, it just goes to show how seriously the Rishonim understood this issue. Now, we're makel on that halacha in terms of his wife. The Rambam writes explicitly, the Rama writes that as well. Rav Moshe says it very clearly. Come on, if somebody's in a room together with his wife, he's going to behave. Maybe not fully, but he's going to behave partially at least. And he's not going to do anything that he shouldn't do in terms of violating anything beyond being together in the same room as these women who he is with. And therefore, the Rav Moshe and others write that we would say that that would not be something that we'd be machmer on him. But there are other chumras that we do put on. So Rav Moshe writes in his Tshuva when he discusses this issue about going to a doctor. So let's say you have a male doctor, an OBGYN, who is seeing, obviously, female patients. And the question is that permissible? Rav Moshe writes that he thinks that that would be something that we really need to think about. And he says, Ma'isim b'chol yom, sha'af nashim shal tamidei chachamim v'yirei Hashem misyachados im harofei v'misrado. You have very righteous women who are married to very righteous men who go to these male doctors. So how can that be, says Rav Moshe. And he says, the husband obviously doesn't go along. He has his own job. He's doing his own thing. He's going to his own doctor. So you can't assume that he's going to be there sitting in the room together with his wife every time she needs a checkup. That's obviously not what's happening. So his question is, what is the heter? Hine a heter shenispashet. So he says, the common heter that everyone talks about is shaharofe, that if you have a doctor, even if he's not a Jewish doctor, who tarad b'malachto, he's a professional. The doctor is a professional, and he thinks about this as a professional relationship that he has with his patient. He does not see it as anything more or less than that. L'salek me'atzmo ta'avoso. If you would have, I hate to be so crass, but if you would have an OBGYN who would have his mind racing every time a woman comes into his office, he's going to have a lot bigger problems. And therefore, Moshe says, obviously, the doctor is going to train himself to make sure to think about every person in his office as a professional relationship, and there's nothing that's going to go beyond there. And he says, aye, what about the fact that he's standing in a room with a woman alone? Isn't that Yichud? So very nice, he's tarad b'malachto, but he says, Rav Moshe has an understanding here where he says, listen, how long can he go for his appointment with this woman? Let's say he has 20 patients a day. I don't know, I have no idea, but let's say he has X amount of patients a day. There are people waiting in the waiting room. He can't stay in the room too long. A nurse will knock on the door. He'll be very uncomfortable. Or someone's going to come and let him know there's another patient waiting. So then says Rav Moshe, and what if I have the last appointment of the day and there's no one else waiting? So Rav Moshe writes, since there is a mishareses be'office, since there is a woman, a secretary who works in the office and who is going to let him know that he has somebody else waiting, that would be something that would obviously save him from the laws of Yichud because he's not ever going to be completely alone with that patient that's in the room. Aye, if he goes much longer on the appointment than he's supposed to, maybe there's something strange going on, the nurse will also knock on the door and say, you know, it's time to move on. You got to go home. I'm leaving. I want to go home already. So something like that. However, says Rav Moshe, what you have to be careful about is if you have somebody who has a personal relationship with this doctor and says, can you just do me a favor? Can you meet me off hours somewhere? Which is stam, a horrible idea in the climate that we live in today with all the scandals going on. Just stam, not a good idea ever to do. In my own office here, Rabbi Axelrod as well, we have cameras in our offices, and I tell every woman that comes to meet with me, the first thing I say before they sit down is, I want you to know there's a camera here. Everything is going to be watched. Obviously not going to be listened to, but everything is watched. I need to protect myself. Forget about the halacha. I'm not comfortable. I think all of our offices are correct for having windows on the doors, and I want Steve to be watching me all day. I want to know that I can never be accused of doing something that is less than what I'm supposed to be doing, and we have to set up boundaries for ourselves. It says Rav Moshe, he doesn't even get into that, but Rav Moshe says, obviously, if a woman has a friend who is a doctor and says to him, do me a favor, can you just open up the office? I really need to get checked out. It's legitimate to do that, but set up a safeguard for yourself. Bring your husband along, bring your child along, something that you know that nothing can get out of control, that nothing can go to a place where it shouldn't go. So Rav Moshe says that would certainly be something that he finds to be inappropriate, but outside of that, he thinks it would be okay. And Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was of the same opinion, that that would be fine. One of the heterim that we do find in general when we talk about the laws of yichud, let's say you have one man and one woman, which is legitimate yichud. So you have woman is at home during the day, and you have somebody who comes to fix the washing machine. So that's an issue of yichud. So what do you do about it? So the Gemara says one of the very clear exceptions to the rule of yichud would be if it's baila ba'ir. If her husband is in the city, then we would assume she wouldn't dare to do anything wrong. He wouldn't dare to do anything wrong with her when he knows that the husband is in the city. That would be something that would be an exception to the rule of yichud. Some of the Rishonim understand this Gemara in a very interesting way. I just said the Gemara says when there's baila ba'ir, when the husband is in the city, there's nothing to worry about. Some Rishonim say, you're still violating an isser, just we're not going to give you malchus for it. That's what some Rishonim say, but that is not the accepted opinion lahalacha. We generally assume the Mechaber writes, and all the major poskim, the Chafetz Chaim quotes from all the major poskim as well, as long as baila ba'ir, as long as the husband is in the city, we would assume that that would be permissible, and we would say that she is allowed to be alone with this man who is in her house, fixing the washing machine, doing whatever he has to do. That would be something that we have no concern. Now, the Rishonim then discuss, why do we have no concern? So there are two different reasons that are given. Number one, Rashi says, because she's afraid that maybe her husband will come home at any time. If her husband is going to be in California and she's here in New York, then she knows that she has time until he gets home and many things can go wrong. If she knows that her husband is in town, it means within the next 5 or 10 minutes, he can always walk in at any time. And therefore, Rashi says that is the reason why baila ba'ir would absolve the concern, would alleviate the concern of yichud with one woman and one man. The Rambam writes that perhaps, and the Mechaber quotes the Rambam, that perhaps the reason is not because she thinks her husband is going to come home at any time. Her husband's in the office. He never comes home. He's not, you know, if he has a major emergency, he'll come home. But obviously he's working, he's doing his thing, so why would he come home? That's not the reason. The Rambam says the reason why is because it's a psychological understanding that we have of people. If a woman knows that her husband is in town, she's going to behave differently than when her husband is away. And therefore the Rambam says it's not because she's afraid that maybe the husband is going to come home, it's that she knows he's around. She knows he's around, and therefore things are going to be different. Rav Moshe had a fascinating nafkamina. Rav Moshe was asked, if let's say you have a woman who is being miyached with the worker who came to the house, and her husband is ba'ir, her husband is in the city. So normally I would say that that would alleviate the concern of yichud. However, says Rav Moshe, what about a case where her husband is in town, in fact, he is in the ear, but he's in jail in the ear. He happens to be in prison. So, oh my is right. So Rav Moshe wants to know, would that be under the same guidelines or not? And Rav Moshe says that really depends on what the Rishonim say here. If you say the reason why baila ba'ir works is because she thinks her husband's going to show up any second, she knows her husband is not coming home, he's in prison. On the other end, if you say the reason why is because psychologically she understands if my husband is around, I'm going to behave differently, Rav Moshe argues, maybe we should say, in that case, it would be something that would still be an allowance for the laws of Yichud, even though she knows for a fact that her husband will not come home. Reb Nevensal has a tshuva in one of his svarim, actually a very beautiful sefer that somebody bought me. It's called Mitzion Teitzei Torah, which is a very nice set of short tshuvas back and forth. So Reb Nevensal was asked, let's say you have somebody who is wheelchair bound. So her husband is wheelchair bound, and now she is going to have yichud with a man. So again, that would depend on these two opinions in the Rishonim as to whether the reason why a woman who's baila ba'ir would be allowed to have yichud is because she thinks he's going to come home. Well, if he needs assistance to get home, she doesn't assume he's going to come home. He needs to be picked up by accessoride. He's not going to get here anytime soon. So that would be something that maybe would make a difference as well. Again, one of the questions we need to think about is baila ba'ir. How do you define an ear? What does that mean? I grew up in Washington Heights. That's one part of New York City. Okay, how long does it take to get from Washington Heights, which is all the way up Manhattan, to get to Wall Street? How long is that? It's a while. What?
Too long.
So it depends how you go. Let's say the fastest mode of transportation is going to be subway. I don't know. Even if you take the subway, it's going to be 45 minutes. So would you tell me that the halacha says, baila ba'ir, as long as her husband is in the city. So even if he's on Wall Street and she's in upper Manhattan, that would be the same halacha? Or do you say, no, baila ba'ir means, if we live in a small shtetl somewhere in Europe, baila ba'ir means he's within a 3-minute range of his wife. He's within a 5-minute drive to his wife. That is a big question. The Chazon Ish had a very interesting opinion where he said, nope, the Gemara says baila ba'ir is baila ba'ir, and therefore he says, even if it's the entire Tel Aviv, and he's on one side of Tel Aviv and she's on the other, it's a mindset. And therefore he says, because of the mindset of the fact that my husband is in Tel Aviv, therefore a woman is going to behave differently than she otherwise would if he was somewhere else. However, he says, when you're talking about, let's say, Petach Tikva in Tel Aviv, then he says that would be considered two different communities, which is a very interesting chiddush. Rav Moshe writes that he doesn't think that we should make the gether based on ear. He says it's a question about reasonable amount of space between yourself and your husband. Is it within a reasonable amount of space of radius that we would say you're within the same general place, and therefore we should assume that this is something that who can come in. Yes, so we're going to talk about that in a minute. Baila ba'ir is a separate heter, a special heter. Here, the question also becomes that, let's say, there's an interesting shaila that was raised by Rabbi Noach Olbaum from Queens. So Rabbi Olbaum wanted to know, what would the halacha be if, let's say, her husband is in the city, but he's learning in a kollel? And he's a serious guy, he's learning in the kollel. So would you say baila ba'ir? He never comes home. So what do you mean baila ba'ir? Is that really true? He's never home. He comes home after Seder's over. So he has a chiddush to say that if it's the kind of place that is so serious that if they would dock his pay, if he didn't show up on time and he's really held accountable for his siddurim, which is the right kind of kolod for him to be learning in, so then in that case, he says, then baila ba'ir maybe wouldn't apply. But in a regular case, people come home. Sometimes things happen, people go home, and therefore that would be a way around it. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes something interesting, and he says, so let's say you have the person comes to fix the appliance in your house. Right? And you have the woman is home. She has a man who comes to the house to fix the washing machine. And now she knows that there's no problem of yichud because she says, my husband works down the block. But the worker man who comes to the house has no idea. Reb Shlomo Zalman has a suffix. Is she mechuyev to inform the man when he walks into her house? By the way, I want you to know that I'm a very careful person. I would never be alone in a house together with another man. But I just want you to know my husband is right down the block and he can come at any time. Does she need to say that? Well, that's not a problem. As long as she is aware of the fact that her husband is there, that would be sufficient. That's a very interesting suffix of Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. There's a very important comment of the Chayei Adam. The Chayei Adam writes that, which is very logical, but the Chayei Adam says, what is this, like a magical heter? As long as baila ba'ir, everything's going to be fine. Says the Chayei Adam, I'm going to read you his words. Venirli, it seems to me, and this is a chiddush of his own, didafka bebesa. We're only talking about baila ba'ir only works if she's in her house, and the worker comes to her house to do work in the house. Then you could say, as long as baila ba'ir, he's a block away, he's a few blocks away, then baila ba'ir is going to save her from yichud. However, says the Chachmas Adam, that's the Chayei Adam Sefer on Hilchas Yichud and many other things, so the Chachmas Adam writes, what if you have a situation where she's in an office somewhere, and her husband has no idea that she's there, so she goes to visit someone in a law office, and she's sitting there with him. But her husband, if he would have an emergency in the middle of the day, would come home looking for his wife and have no idea where she is. Says the Chachmas Adam, this baila ba'ir is not just magical. It means the husband has some kind of idea of where his wife might be. And therefore, baila ba'ir would work. But if she goes to a place which is an unexpected location for her to be, then of course all the laws of yichud are back because it's as if he's not here. He has no idea where you are. So that is what Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes the halacha as well. The Chafetz Chaim says the same thing. But Rav Moshe writes this as well, and he says, it's dafka kishahalcha lamakom she'ein regila lalechas l'sham. So let's say you have some blocks in our community have neighbors that are very close to each other. So if I'm not at home, my husband will know that I'm probably at the neighbor. And I'm probably, if I'm not there, I'm 3 doors down by the other neighbor, or I'm by my best friend a few blocks away. If that's the case, says Rav Moshe, then baila ba'ir works. But if that's not the situation, and a woman goes just to somebody else that is not at all connected to her to a place where her husband would assume that she would be, then you're back to the issue of yichud, and baila ba'ir would not help. The Gemara in Kiddushin introduces us to another exception, to another factor regarding yichud that we have to take into equation, and how it ties into baila ba'ir. And that is, the Gemara says, if you have somebody who is libo gas ba, the laws of yichud would have an exception when you have a regular situation of, as I said, a woman is in the house and you have a worker who comes to the house, they have no real relationship with each other. But let's say you have a man and a woman who are libo gaspa, which means they have a very close rapport with one another. They are very close. Like I said, you have neighbors sometimes who are very, very close friends, sometimes closer than they should be, right, of the opposite gender. And the question then becomes, well, what are the laws of yichud with those people? Is that the same guideline or not? So it's interesting because the Shulchan Aruch actually quotes this halacha from the Gemara, and he says that, yes, we have some exceptions to the rule with regard to yichud and where it wouldn't apply, but if you have a relationship with another member of the opposite gender and it's libo gaspa, the example the Shulchan Aruch gives is shegado imo, meaning we grew up together and we've been friends for the last 25 years, or I would say that also means we are neighbors and we are therefore very, very close to each other. Aruch HaShulchan even writes, let's say they work together in the office and they're together all the time. So you have two partners in a law firm, a man and a woman, and they are very close to each other. And then after hours, they go out to dinner together and they go somewhere. Wouldn't that be a problem of yichud? Well, you say, well, baila ba'ir, her husband is home, so what's the problem? The answer is no. If you have a prior relationship with someone and as a result of that, it's libo gaspa, which means I feel extremely comfortable with you, means we could be much closer to doing something wrong than we otherwise would have been if it was two strangers. And therefore, you have to be much more careful when you have libo gaspa. That is something we definitely need to think about. An additional heter regarding yichud that is mentioned in the Gemara is what is referred to as Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim. When you have a door that is open, that also would get around all the problems of yichud that we have been discussing. Now, the major discussion in the poskim is, what does it mean that you have a door that is open? What exactly does a door open mean? Does it mean the door actually has to be wide open, or it means the door just has to be unlocked, and potentially somebody can walk in without any problem? That is a major discussion among the Rishonim and among the Achronim as well. And the majority of the modern-day poskim, the Chazon Ish and Rabbi Avad Yosef and many others write that you don't have to have the door all the way open. As long as you leave the door unlocked, that would be a way around the issue. So that is definitely something that we should keep in mind. If you have somebody who comes to the house doing work in the house, just leave the door unlocked, and often that would get around many other problems. However, Rav Moshe has a tremendous, unbelievable chiddush that he came up with on his own, which is not mentioned in any of the poskim, and I don't know that many agree with him. I didn't do enough research, but it seems to be a tremendous chiddush to me. Rav Moshe writes the following. This halacha of Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim, when we say that as long as you have a door that is open to a Rishus HaRabim, that would save you from yichud because anybody can walk in. If my neighbors know that my door is unlocked, they can come in. Now you have to have those kinds of relationships. It has to be reasonable that somebody may walk into the house, and that would get you around the problem. So here Rav Moshe writes, in my opinion, he says, Da'afilu ne'ula hadelas. Even if the door is locked, I think that it would be fine to have yichud together when the door is locked. So what does that mean? Rav Moshe says no, because he comes up with a very interesting chiddush. Says Rav Moshe, what is the natural reaction of a person in our community when somebody knocks on your door or rings the bell? What do? You go to the door and you ask, who is it? If it's somebody that you know, you feel uncomfortable saying, I'm sorry, you can't come in right now. You're going to open the door. I am in my pajamas. Okay, so if I'm really dressed inappropriately, I'm going to tell them, give me a minute. I'm going to go put a robe on. I'll come back. If I'm dressed appropriately, it's just casually. So you'll answer the door and say, hey, you know, give me, I don't know. Do you need something? What's going on? So Rav Moshe says, because it's normal for people to go and answer the door when somebody knocks or when somebody rings, therefore, says Rav Moshe, that's called Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim. Unbelievable chiddush. Even if my door is locked and the person would try to get in, I wouldn't answer. But because I would be so uncomfortable if somebody would ring the door and I was doing something wrong in the other room, I would immediately run to answer the door because nobody just stops and doesn't answer the door, says Rav Moshe. Therefore, he writes, that would be something that he thinks would get around the problem of yichud as well, because the standard of our community is that when someone knocks on the door or rings the bell, we answer the door or we ask who it is, and that would be enough to leave me in a position where I'm uncomfortable enough to do anything wrong, because maybe someone's going to ring the bell. Now, says Rav Moshe, that's only at a reasonable hour of the day when people would actually knock on the door or ring the bell. But if you're talking about a time of day when that wouldn't happen, then of course this wouldn't apply. This Chiddush of Rav Moshe is absolutely tremendous, unbelievable Chiddush, which we do not find anywhere else. In the Sefer Divrei Sofrim, which is on Hilchos Yichud, he writes that he personally does not believe that Rav Moshe could have possibly ever said such a thing. I don't know what that means. Rav Moshe writes it in a tshuva. It's not somebody quotes it in his name. Rav Moshe has it explicitly, word for word. He says it, that he thinks that's okay, and I think that's a tremendous, tremendous Chiddush. Once again, the Chazon Ish writes that the only time this heter of Pesach Pasuach works, you can't be together with a member of the opposite gender at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, oh, the door's unlocked, so everything's fine. It doesn't work. It's only at a reasonable time when you think somebody may come by or somebody from your family may happen to walk in. That is the only time that works. And the poskim write that not only is Pesach Pasuach good enough, but if your neighbors have the keys to your house and every so often they walk in, that would be something that would be a way around this as well. I want to mention one other thing because I see we're almost out of time. Yeah, but even it's a tremendous, it's an unbelievable Chiddush. Unbelievable Chiddush, yeah. Okay, so one more thing that I want to talk about is, what if you're in a situation where none of the above mentioned heterim are applicable? Meaning, it's not Baila Ba'ir, her husband is working in a different part of the city, and it's not reasonable he's going to come home anytime soon. It's not Pesach Pasuach because nobody's going to walk in. I'm in a position where I'm not a social person and nobody's going to walk in. So what do you do in a case like that? Every so often you have such a situation, such as the case of the psychologist, of the therapist. Very often you see a client whose husband is not around, right? So you can have a male therapist who sees a female patient, a female client, and the client's husband is at work. So problem number one is you can't use the heter of Baila Ba'ir. So let's go to the second one. What's the second heter? Second heter would be Pesach Pasuach, the Rishus HaRabim. But here, even if you leave it unlocked, generally we would say that only works if it's reasonable that somebody would come in. Who would ever disturb a therapy session in the middle and just walk in unannounced? It doesn't work that way. And many therapists, you'll say, in a doctor's office, you have a nurse who's there to keep the schedule running, who's going to make sure that things are going the way they should. But let's say you have a therapist. Therapists don't have secretaries all the time. Sometimes you have a therapist, or often you have a therapist, who makes their own schedule and who sees their own clients, and there's nobody else around. And the question is there any way to get around the problem? Again, I'm not giving an opinion about whether you should go to a therapist of the opposite gender. That's a much larger question. But let's say you have to go. Let's say, whatever, this is the greatest professional. This is who you need to go to. What is the way around it? How do you deal with it? You don't always bring your spouse. Sometimes the reason you're going is because you want to talk about your spouse. So what are you supposed to do? How do you deal with that problem? And I would say, to compound the issue, you're talking about often a situation of libo gaspa. You're talking about a situation where you have a prior relationship with this therapist. You've been there many times for sessions. You know each other for a long time, a long period of time. How do you deal with that problem? So a major, major issue that has been discussed in contemporary Svarim is, would we say that putting a camera in the office would be something that would be legitimate? Now, the problem with putting a camera in an office of a therapist is your patient or your client may not be comfortable if they know that everything is being recorded. Because after all, if everything's being recorded, how can I be confident that whatever I'm saying is going to be held in confidence? Who's going to watch on the other side? So you can say, you know, we're going to make sure the sound isn't on. Yeah, but I also don't want people to know that I was here. Very often people are very sensitive. They don't want to know that. They don't want other people knowing that they went to this professional to get help. So I don't know who's watching on the other end. So you say, oh, it's just my wife is watching. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I don't want your wife knowing, right? Dr. Cliff Goldstein has told me in the past that, you know, he's a OBGYN. He takes care of many people in the neighborhood. And he said, you know, I meet a spouse in the office or I meet a parent in the office. I can't tell them. Of course I can't tell them. Confidentiality. I don't say, oh, I saw your wife today. I saw your daughter today. Of course you can't say that. A professional is expected to be professional. So who's going to be watching on the other end that I'm going to be comfortable with? So what exactly are we going to do? So there are some who say that as long as you put up a camera, it's good enough. You know, the Mishnah says, "Kol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim." We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps record of everything. When you have a video camera, it reminds you, "Kol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim." And Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet, the Ribono Shel Olam is with us all the time. And the same way the camera is recording what we're doing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is able to see us as well. Like the Navi writes in Yirmiyah, Misasher ish ba'mistarim ba'ani lo erena nu'um Hashem. Is it possible for a person to hide and HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't see him? Doesn't matter where you are, inside of your house, inside of your office, in the privacy of your own home. The Gemara even has a lashon that kiros beso me'idin alav. La'achar me'ev'asim shana, the Gemara says that the walls of a person's house are going to give testimony about him or her. What does that mean? It means there are certain things that people do in their homes that they know are not proper, they know are not correct, that they would never do in public, but the Gemara says that the walls of one's house are going to be called to testimony as well. We're expected to be Jews who are tocho kabaro, who are inside and out good people. And sometimes the notion of a video camera reminds us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching us as well. So there were some poskim who said that if you can figure out logistically how to set up a camera that your patient, that your client is going to be comfortable with, I don't know exactly how you do that, but if you're going to figure out how to do that, they still said that it would be a problem. Why would it be a problem? Because number one, you can always cover over the camera, right? I can always put a paper towel over it and that's the end of that. I can always unplug the camera. I can always move it to a different side of the room, or I can move myself to a different side of the room. And therefore, how can I be confident that I'm really going to be taken care of when I know that I can move the camera at any time? Now, there are other poskim who said, Reb Zalman Nechemya Goldberg and others were of the opinion that as long as you have a camera, that would be sufficient, and that would take care of all of the yichud problems, let's say, for example, by the therapist when you're sitting in a session together, just the two people without anyone else watching. How would it help? So he said, we don't always have to be concerned that maybe you're going to go somewhere else and hide out. And he brings a couple of proofs to that. But number two, he says, the major reason is because the uman, the professional, is nervous that if I end up doing something that is not proper, this person is going to somehow report me. They're going to somehow get the word out, and I'm going to be out of a job. I'm going to have my license taken away. I'm going to be thrown in jail. I'm going to be, you know, it's going to be a problem for me. So that's reason number one, he says. Reason number one, he says, is, again, you have to put up safeguards and you have to do whatever you can. But if you have a camera in the room, to assume that he's going to go put a paper towel over the camera, move it to the other side of the room, he's going to go into a location where no one's going to see him, all of that coupled with the fact that he's also a professional and he knows that his job is on the line if he does something wrong, it sometimes would be enough, he says, to stop a person from doing it. A question that is often asked is, at what age is there a problem of yichud? And this is an issue when you talk about, let's say, somebody in Stern College asked me yesterday that she is often asked to go and babysit her nieces and her nephews. So at what age would you say that to babysit a nephew, or for a man to babysit his niece, at what age would you say that that is a potential problem? What's interesting is the Rambam writes, a girl should not be alone with a boy, that's yichud. From what age is the youngest age that a girl is not allowed to be alone? Says the Rambam, from 3 years old. 3 years old, really? I mean, I'm sure none of you have ever been careful about that, right? You've gone, you've given your three-year-old niece a kiss. So what's the story with the three-year-old? So Rav Moshe writes that he thinks nowadays it would be much older than that. It would not be 3 years old. Where did the Rambam come up with this idea of 3 years old? So the Rambam says the reason why is because from 3 years old, we know Rivka Imenu got married at three, and therefore he says she's Ru'uya Labia, something can go wrong, and therefore it's a problem. Rav Moshe says no three-year-old kid is going to go and be involved in an intimate relationship today. No five-year-old, no six-year-old. This is not a normal thing to do. Every so often you hear about these very unusual stories where somebody is going to do something extremely inappropriate, even with a young child. So Rav Moshe says, yes, that is true that that happens. However, Rav Moshe writes that he's of the opinion that if you have a young girl, the assumption is that anything, even if she doesn't fully understand what's happening to her, but anything unusual like that that would happen, she would run to her parents. And the mere fact that I know that this young girl is going to run to her parents without any discretion and she's going to share the information of what happened with her parents, that is enough, says Rav Moshe, of a mirsas. That is enough of a reason to say that I, as the man in the equation here, would be nervous enough not to do anything wrong because she's going to go back straight to her parents and tell them whatever it is that transpired. I, says Rav Moshe, she doesn't even know what happened. So Rav Moshe says, but she is able to identify parts of her body and say to her parents, somebody touched me here, somebody did something there, which is still a good idea that we should teach our children about their bodies and make them understand that their bodies need to be a safe space for themselves where nobody should get involved. So Rav Moshe says that that is definitely something that we have raised from the days of the Rambam. We wouldn't say that a three-year-old is any longer considered to be the threshold. What about in the opposite direction? So Rav Moshe says, So once again, the Rambam says 9 years old. Once a boy is 9 years old, then you already have to be concerned because he's Roy Labia at 9 years old. Many of the poskim say today, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I think, and others in Yerushalayim said, it's much older today. It's 11, 12 years old. That is when, the hormones start kicking in and other things. And therefore, he says that would be the proper time to start being careful about such an issue. But younger than that, we would generally say is not such a problem. Again, this is a very brief overview of some of the areas of halacha that pertain to Hilchas Yichud. Very, very important issues that we are confronted with every day, all the time, things that we always have to be careful about. But Mirz Hashem, we should all have the opportunity. This week's parasha, Kadoshim to you. We all have the obligation to be Kadosh. And my father always likes to say, the Gemara has a mashal. The Gemara says, let's say you have a tree that is tilting to one side. So how do you get it to go back to be straight? So what do? So the Gemara says, you take a rope and you tie it on and you pull it all the way back to the other side, to the opposite direction. And then after a few months or a few weeks of being all the way to the other side, somehow it will balance itself out and end up right in the middle where it was originally. So my father always likes to use that mashal that it's the same way when you have any issue in the generation. The Rambam writes that it's always good to go the derech hamamutza. It's always good for a person to go down the shvil hazav, as the Rambam refers to it. Down the middle path, don't be too extreme in either direction. It's not good to ever be an extremist. However, my father always likes to say, if you have a dor that is parutz in one area, if you have a generation where people are so callous about a certain area of halacha, then we need to go to the totally opposite extreme, and we need to then somehow balance out the trends of the generation and bring ourselves back to normalcy. And the example my father always gives is this issue of arayus. Our generation has become so parutz ba'arayus, and you see, I was in Grand Central Station yesterday, and you just see the ads. It's like everything has gone so far beyond anything that we saw 15, 20 years ago. And you see what kids are watching today, what adults are watching today. You see what people are looking at all the time, and it's not even so taboo anymore. Somebody told me, used to be when you wanted to see things you weren't supposed to see, you had to work really hard to get it. Now you don't have to work hard at all. It's all right there. So when we live in a generation where you're living through a scene of parutz ba'arayos, my father always likes to say, then we have to be much more machmir on yichud. And even though the Shulchan Aruch says we're allowed to be mekel with Pesach Pasuach, and we're allowed to be mekel with Baila Ba'ir, maybe we should be machmir, more machmir than we otherwise would, because we should just be careful. We should protect ourselves when we have a generation of people that are so callous about these issues and so not caring about it. The proof that my father brings to this is the Gemara says, Kalaroa sota bekukula yazer atzmo minayayin. The Gemara says that anyone who is in the Beis HaMikdash and sees the story of the sota unfolding has to then become a nazir. Why do I have to become a nazir? The Gemara says that becoming a nazir is an aveira. You're not allowed to abstain from drinking wine. God put wine into the world because he wants us to enjoy. So why are you saying, I want to be somebody who's kadosh, I want to be someone who's going to separate myself from tanugei olam hazeh? The answer is yes. Most regular people are not allowed to become a nazir. But if you witness something that is so inappropriate, you saw the story of the sota, and you saw that there is such impropriety in the world, once you witness that, you are now exposed, your soul has become tainted, you have become much less sensitive about these issues than you were beforehand. And the Torah says the recipe to get yourself back to normalcy is become a nazir. Go to the opposite extreme. That's what you need to do when you have something that pulls you in one extreme, you have to go to the other. So the example, as I said, my father often gives is when it comes to the laws of Yichud. People are just not careful enough with arayos today. People get involved, unfortunately, in all kinds of things that they regret later on. We don't believe that everybody is evil. We believe that people have taivas. People do things that they otherwise themselves wouldn't want to do, but they just get caught up in the moment and they do things that they're not thinking about. The way to protect ourselves is to be much more careful about Hilchas Yichud than we otherwise would have. And even the heterim that the Shulchan Aruch gives, we shouldn't be so quick to dispense them. We should be mindful of the very specific scenarios that we're in. Question? Yeah.